In 2022, Team Milk came together by sponsoring female marathon runners for the marathon in New York City. Today, they're more than 20,000 strong. In 2024, Team Milk is making an even bigger commitment to female runners and launching the only women's marathon in the U.S. designed for and by women. The inaugural Every Woman's Marathon will take place in Savannah, Georgia on November 16, 2024. You can learn more and register for the marathon at everywomansmarathon.com.
Hi, everyone. I'm Brené Brown, and I'd love to tell you about my podcast, Dare to Lead. Innovation, creativity, building a better, more just world, all of these things require absolutely courageous leadership, especially given the complexity and chaos of the world right now. The Dare to Lead podcast is a collection of conversations with change catalysts, culture shifters, some troublemakers, folks who are really daring to create and change the world. I hope you join us.
Hey there, you are listening to Intuit from Vulture and New York Magazine. I'm your host, Sam Sanders. And I am joined this week by, I'm going to just say it, my favorite guest ever, all time, forever, Intuit's MVP, comedian, writer, all-around great guy, Jay Jerdan. Hello, Jay.
Hello, Sam. How are you?
I'm better now. I enjoy our monthly check-ins. I enjoy that.
All right, yes. You actually help me more than I probably help you.
Who knows? All right, Jay, shall we play the game?
Yes, we know. We love this game. Into it or not into it?
There we go. It's very simple. I share with my guest some stories from the week of pop culture, and he tells me simply if he's into them or not. Let's get into it. Jay, are you into or not into Britney Spears's upcoming memoir, which is out next week, October 24th. It's coming.
Oh my God. I'm so into it, but I'm also so scared of it. But I'm into it. I'm into it, but woo.
Yeah. Let me tell you, I'm exhausted by the idea of it because we just lived through Jada's memoir rollout, and I'm tired.
Sam, there is only so much of other people's business we can know before we start to get exhausted. And we are approaching, I would want to say, critical mass as far as like minding other people's business. But I'm into it. I'm into Britney telling her story.
I'm into Britney doing it. Apparently, she's saying she won't do any interviews. She actually released some snippets to People magazine, and she even took the pictures herself. She's like, it's my prerogative. She said, it's me.
What? No interview. What? She's got to do one. She's got to do one.
Does she? Does she? If I were Britney Spears, I would never talk to a journalist live again. We did her dirty.
Okay.
We did her dirty. Anywho, let me share some tidbits of this book. First and foremost, it's called The Woman in Me. That name, good or bad, you like it?
Yeah, I like it. That's a reference to a lyric.
There we go.
I'm just trying
to find
The Woman in Me. Yeah.
Yeah. Second tidbit, the audiobook for this book will be read or voiced by Michelle Williams, the white one, the actress.
What?
Imagine if Black Michelle Williams narrated Britney Spears' memoir.
After all of the darkness and sadness, soon comes happiness. Yes.
That was a top-notch Destiny's Child lyric reference, good sir. Anywho, let me give you some more tidbits. In this book, Britney Spears revealed that when she went to New York and tried to make it big in music after the Mickey Mouse Club, the song she performed for her audition in front of the record executives was Whitney Houston's I Have Nothing.
Ooh.
How do you think that sounded?
I I thought she was much more of a daughter of Janet.
The whisper vocal, yeah.
I would expect a Paula Abdul song from Young Britney.
Don't insult her with a Paula Abdul song.
I'm saying she would have made Paula sound even better. Britney would outsang Paula Abdul, okay?
That bar is on the floor.
She would have cleared it without hesitation. I have nothing, a ballad.
And okay. a hard ballad. Also, yeah. She says that when she was in the room auditioning, she said that she gazed out at the rooms full of men in suits, looking her up and down in her small dress and high heels. She was 15. And then she says, uh-huh. I sang loud. She knew at 15 what was up.
Dirty old men. That's all I can say. Those dirty old executives.
Another tidbit. She reveals that when she was starring in her movie Crossroads,
I know, I heard about this.
She was doing method acting the whole time.
I'm so sick of the two of you bitching and fighting every damn second of the day. For once, would you just shut up? I don't know why the hell I asked the two of you to come on this trip.
I heard that she was happy she didn't have to do that much more acting after Crossroads because at one point she almost was cast in The Notebook. It was down to
her. Are you serious?
She said it was between her and Rachel McAdams. That's what she said.
Stop.
What are we doing?
Do you think in another life I could have been a bird?
What do you mean?
Like reincarnation.
I don't know.
I think I could.
When some people don't get acting gigs, though, they will say, oh, actually, it came down between me. Like, I tell everyone it was me
mm-hmm.
or it was Anthony Mackie for Falcon. It was me or
yes.
Captain America.
A black Captain America, huh?
Damn right.
Like, I was there early on. He was there later on. But at one point, both of our names were floated.
Bam, bam. Another Britney tidbit. There's so many tidbits already, and I like all of them. When she was doing her iconic VMA performance of I'm a Slave for You, when she was holding the snake, apparently during the performance, the snake, the boa, got right up in her face and was hissing at her. And girl just kept dancing. She's a pro.
Wow. Well, okay. In the snake's defense, that's what snakes do. Snakes hit. The snake might have been saying, you're doing great, sweetie. Keep it up.
Yeah. A supportive snake.
That snake might have been a fan. It wasn't hissing. It was saying, yes, Britney, go off.
I like that. I'm holding on to that. I like that. All right, last tidbit, and this is just maybe the saddest tidbit. While she was dating Justin Timberlake,
mm-hmm.
she revealed that during that relationship, she had an abortion because she knew that Justin didn't want to be a father. Woo.
Well, yeah, and then it keeps coming out more about that, how they weren't ready. He said they weren't ready. Lots of mixed thoughts as far as like what it means to be a teenager in the public eye in a relationship, but also like, just now, Justin Timberlake does have to wrestle with the fact that he's affected two very famous
pop stars. He screwed over Janet. He screwed over Britney.
Yeah. And stories like that, when the parties have grown apart and older and both parties have since like moved on and been married and have kids with other people. It's very small town. We meet up at Applebee's high school reunion energy.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
Like, it is wild that we know this.
That
now.
We know. What do you most want to see Britney talk about in the book?
I
want to
hear about the beef. I want to hear about the fact that, like, her, Christina, Jessica, Mandy all were pitted against each other. Like, that was all companies pitting them against each other. I want to hear about the kiss.
I have a bone to pick because Mandy Moore is not first name level, okay? You said Mandy.
Ooh.
You said Mandy.
Okay. I mean, if I'm talking about the girls at that point.
The girls. I hope she writes about, like, her singing voice. Like, I've been thinking a lot about it. Like,
everyone's
cracking on her for the vocal fry, this, that. But the way Britney Spears sang ended up being the way a lot of the girls sang after her. Like, it was influential. Like, I wonder if she talks about her singing voice and her voice specifically because it's so distinct. We shall see.
I mean, there's tons of pop history in that book.
Oh my God, for sure. Last question on this before we move on. Who else do you want to see write a celebrity memoir? They have to have not written one before, and it can only be one choice. One choice.
Ooh. Who are we missing? There's got to be someone we just haven't heard from that's kind of been on the corner the whole time.
I have my pick, but you go first. Do it.
Carson Daly.
What?
Carson Daly about TRL. Carson Daly about TRL. Okay.
TRL was pretty straightforward. They played the videos.
Okay.
You called and they played the videos.
Maybe Usher? Maybe Usher.
Oh, Usher. I want Usher to finally tell me the truth about what happened with those herpes lawsuits. Remember that?
Oh.
People were suing Usher being like, he gave me herpes. To which, if that's what we're suing over now these days, everybody getting sued. Everybody's getting sued.
One in four people.
Everybody has herpes.
What's your pick?
Catherine Zeta-Jones.
Ooh.
She's hiding something.
I didn't know we could go actresses. I was sticking in pop music.
Oh, well, you can pick an actor or actress. Go ahead. But my pick is Catherine Zeta-Jones because
actor.
She won that Oscar for Chicago. She married whatchamacallit Douglas. I was like, she's going to be out here doing things. And she kind of just was like, peace. What you been doing, Catherine? What you been doing? Mm. Anywho, who is your actor or actress pick?
Ooh, Adam Sandler.
You got to go. You got to get out of here today, Jay. You, sir.
Adam Sandler? That would be fun.
He said Carson Daly, and then he said Adam Sandler. Who's next? The guy from King of Queens? Who's next, Jay?
Kevin James.
I don't know these man's names.
He's going to be in Adam Sandler's book.
Okay. Touche.
They're good buddies.
What is the title of Adam Sandler's memoir?
Oh, definitely The Sandman Cometh.
Wow. What middle-aged dad possessed your body for this taping?
He's going to be a bestseller. It's going to fly off the shelves. And I guarantee you, 50% of it is just going to be poop jokes.
I will say I love his bat mitzvah movie. It's cute.
Easy read. Easy read.
There you go.
The letters are going to be big.
There will be pictures.
Definitely some pictures.
Imagine Adam Sandler's audiobook. Honestly, Library of Congress.
Oh, yeah. The voices, he's doing his audiobook. That's the thing. Yes. Michelle Williams is not doing Adam Sandler's audiobook.
No. I want Adam Sandler to do his entire audiobook in the voice of the water boy.
Mama says that alligators are ornery because they got all them teeth but no toothbrush.
See, you want this book now.
You've turned me around. You have turned me around. Adam, write it.
Who would do like the preface?
Chris Rock. Chris Rock. They're friends.
No, Chris. I don't want Chris Rock. I want to be like, okay.
It's a forward. You're not going to read the forward anyway. No one reads the forward.
I wanted to be like Kathy Bates because she was his mom in Waterboy.
You're going to lose all your fancy foosball games and you're going to fail your big exam because school is
the devil. Everything is the devil to you, mama.
I'm down for that.
I'm thinking.
You were thinking. I did not expect this episode taping to end up with praise for Adam Sandler, but here we are.
Look at us.
Here we are. Look at us. All right, more of the game with Jay Jordan after the break.
Calling all female runners. It's time to lace up and join Team Milk. Since the 2022 New York City Marathon, Team Milk has sponsored female marathon runners nationwide, providing support and shining a spotlight on their unique stories, perseverance, and drive to go the distance. Why milk? Dairy milk is an excellent nutritional add for both marathon training and recovery. Milk contains 13 essential nutrients, including high-quality protein, making it a crucial component of a training diet. Plus, it's one of the best beverages for hydration, even better than water. The same electrolytes that are added to many of your favorite sports drinks are found naturally in milk. And in 2024, Team Milk is taking the next step to empower female runners by launching the only women's marathon in the U.S. designed for and by women. Built to be accessible, empowering, and community-building, the inaugural Every Woman's Marathon will take place in Savannah, Georgia, on November 16, 2024. You can learn more and register for the marathon at everywomansmarathon.com.
In a lot of ways, the leader of Canada is not like the leader of the United States. Justin is 52, Joe is 81, but the two do share some struggles. Trudeau's been in office for a while, he's being challenged by a conservative populist, and he's struggling in the polls, especially with young people. But now, he's got a plan to fix it, all of it.
Among the $52.9 billion in new spending,
he's proposing a $23 billion program to get nearly 4 million homes built between now and 2031.
He's got a budget that speaks directly to millennials and Gen Z, or Gen Z as he calls them, and he's hoping it'll keep populism at bay in Canada too. Prime Minister Justin Trudeau is going to join us on Today Explained to tell us all about it. Today Explained, Vox's daily news podcast, Monday through Friday in your feeds.
Jay, are you into or not into Netflix opening brick and mortar locations?
And having like weird merch now too.
Yeah.
You don't get to make fun of Blockbuster and then turn into Blockbuster.
I don't think they'll have DVDs though. Think they'll have DVDs?
They're just gonna sell merch.
They're gonna sell merch.
T-shirts, pillows, hoodies.
So these retail sites will be named Netflix House. The first two will open in 2025, and then they'll expand from there. And I'm going to read a graph from the Bloomberg story by Lucas Shaw that announced this news. He wrote, quote, Netflix plans to open new destinations where fans can immerse themselves in the worlds of their favorite TV shows, shop for clothing, eat themed food, and maybe even try a Squid Game obstacle course.
Why would you want to do this? We've been very casual and very removed from the fact that if you don't play Squid Game right, you die. We're trying to pretend like it's American Ninja Warrior. It's not.
It's American Ninja Death Trap. Like, they're killing you. They're killing you. You know what? They've already been talking about making a Squid Game obstacle course. I just don't know who would do it. But besides that, I will say, and this is full disclosure, Jay, I've gone to the Netflix restaurant in L.A. twice, and I loved it. The food was based on recipes from all their celebrity chefs on the reality shows, and the mixologists from their shows made the drinks. It was good, and the vibe was cute. It was next to the Grove. It had a little summer evening. I'm telling you.
But I see it as a pop-up. I'm saying, I see it for the festival. I see it.
But not permanent.
That's what I'm saying. Brick and mortars around the country for Netflix. Like, what is the...
So you're not into it?
No, I think they're an amazing company. I would love to work with them. No, I'm not into it. It's a little bit... If it was a pop-up in an airport even, I can vibe.
Ooh,
no, but that's the energy it has. That is the energy it has.
Limited time only energy.
Limited time only. Yes. You talking about a Stranger Things t-shirt? Is that what you open up a brick and mortar just for us to get those?
What would it take for you to go to one of these Netflix houses, like to get you in the door? What would they have to give you or bribe you with?
Probably one of the hotties from Elite. I don't know.
Elite.
You would. Is it corn? Is it street corn? Elote?
Elote is street corn. Yes, yes.
We would have to run out of date ideas for me to go to a Netflix brick and mortar.
So you're saying you would have a first date at a Netflix brick and mortar is what you're saying?
Sure. If it's with Tessa Randos and he's paying for it.
Okay. You're in charge of the design, decor, and aesthetic of one of these Netflix brick and mortars. What's the first thing you put in there?
Ooh. No. I'm really trying to think about walking into. Okay, we have so many stores already. America's full of stores. And brick and mortars. Sometimes they do stuff. This one really ain't doing stuff.
I will say, what would I want to see in a Netflix pop up? You know what? I would actually want it to have DVDs.
Now, see, they need to do a Netflix Blockbuster collab where they sell DVDs and their DVDs of Netflix shows.
I love that. My editor's slacking me now and saying that she would love to have glass blowing, because that was one of the reality shows.
Okay.
I'm Nick Juhas. Consider this a warning. You're about to be blown away.
And flower arranging, because that was another one of the reality shows.
They could probably have some of the cake stuff. Do you bite stuff if it's cake or not? I don't know.
Okay, judges, here come four pairs of Himalayan salt lamps and scent diffusers.
Wow.
Remember, one of them is cake.
I want a skating rink. I want a skating rink and a DJ, and then the DVDs are playing, and when you leave and turn in your skates, they give you a DVD.
But Netflix is... its sole purpose is to keep you in your house. You have incentivized your subscribers to stay at home. It's hard to get us back out.
It's true. It's true.
To spend money?
To spend money. Mm-hmm. To spend money.
Not into it.
Okay, not into it. There we have it. All right, time for one more break. More with Jay Jordan when we come back.
Hey everyone, this is Jesse David Fox, host of Good One, a podcast about jokes. I am proud to announce that I have personally won the Streaming Wars. And there's a new docu-special on Peacock based on our own Vulture podcast. Good One, a show about jokes, follows Mike Birbiglia as he develops new material, taking audiences through the process of transforming personal stories into stand-up. Featuring interviews with Mike's family and comedy colleagues like Seth Meyers, Hasan Minhaj, and Asko Akatsuka, Good One, a show about jokes, is streaming now, only on Peacock.
Last question for you.
Oh, Lord.
And it's less of an into it, not into it, and more of a, what's going on here? More
All
of
right.
a, tell me something. I'm talking about the actor's strike. The thinking
oh,
was
we
the
act- This is more like a, let's get into it.
Yes. Let's get into this actor's strike. I thought they were done. They said a few weeks ago they were wrapping it up.
Ooh. Wow.
What's happening
here?
Tell me what's happening here, please.
I, as a SAG member, I wish I knew because every time I get an email, I go, oh, that's bad.
What do they say in the emails?
The emails are just like, well, Jay, whoops.
The email is just that meme photo of Kevin James doing his shoulder shrug. That's the email.
Yes. We would love it if you could get a job like as stable as the King of Queens, but yes. no go.
I want you to tell me what's going on. Here's what I know from what I've been reading. Uh-huh. According to The Hollywood Reporter, the studios paused discussion on October 11th because, quote, the gap between the AMPTP and SAG-AFTRA is too great, and conversations are no longer moving us in a productive direction. That statement has so much amicable divorce energy.
It's also coming from the trades, which are like...
owned by a guy who was kind of on the side of the industry.
By the studios. So it's like not 100% honest. It's not, it also doesn't give the details of like the fact that like we're talking about residuals for streaming being like offered and they thought that was too great when it was like a tiny number. And like this is the same strategy that the AMTTPP whatever people tried to like employ when it came to the WGA. So like a lot of things are kind of being like pushed to the side for the studios to be able to say the gap is too great, we'll never make it happen. But my fear is that people will start to be like, oh, it's been so long. Guess what? Strikes suck, and they suck for a reason, and they hurt because you have to inflict pain on these people financially, economically. But, you know, I stand in solidarity with everyone who's in SAG.
Let me tell you what happened recently. Now there are reports, because this thing will not stop. The big guns have stepped into the chat. George Clooney has been meeting with union leadership. And according to Deadline, he was apparently on a Zoom call with a bunch of other stars, including Scarlett Johansson, Ben Affleck, Emma Stone, and Tyler Perry.
Oh, okay.
Why? They're in it now. How do we feel about that and that Zoom call?
I feel that the highest paid actors are talking about this because they can help sway public opinion and because, like, people truly understand the difference between, like, normal working everyday actors and multimillionaires is so great that if they're worried, then they're making sure that things are going to be better for people below them and people that come after them. I hope that's what that was about.
Here's my next question about this star-studded negotiation meeting. If the group of actors on the call is George Clooney, Scarlett Johansson, Ben Affleck, Tyler Perry, and Emma Stone, which one of them is the ringleader and why?
Ooh, do you think it's Scarlett Johansson?
I'm going to tell you the truth. I think it's Tyler Perry. Because he would just come in and, like, direct them. Horribly, but he would direct them.
Oh, my God. That's very funny. Yeah, if Tyler Perry called all them together and said, we have to handle this, you know things are rough.
And then, he has to give Scarlett Johansson a, like, Madea-level monologue to play out.
Yeah, and he has to also give her a bad wig. That's the rule. Scarlett Johansson, you put on a bad wig and you go out there and you act for your life.
Honey, you in jail because of what you did. Learn how to take some responsibility for yourself, for your own stuff. I can't stand folk want to be the victim. This person did this, that's why I'm this way. Everybody in this place got a story. Your mama and your daddy done gave you life. That's all they were supposed to do. No matter how good, how bad the life was, it's up to you to make something out of it. Suck it up and shut the hell up.
I will say, we're going to have to get these actors back to work soon because they're starting to work my nerves. Like,
as these
strikes have been going on, they've just been doing anything to keep attention on themselves. And so they're making everything a runway for themselves. They go to a concert, runway moment. They go to a tennis game, runway moment. Like, they don't have actual red carpets right now, and they're making everything else a red carpet. And I'm just like, stop.
And they're just kind of showing up at events.
Everything.
I mean, like, I can't talk about any projects. But you know what? I can't talk about me.
Yeah.
So this is what I've been doing.
Yes. Like, give them something new to do. It's time.
Sam Sanders is calling for Into the Strike, not to help these actors, but to get them to actually say words someone else wrote. I don't want to hear your thoughts no more, boo-boo.
You know what it feels like? When your kids, I mean, like I know, but like when your kids are off for the whole summer vacation and you don't send them to camp, but that last week you're like, if you don't get these kids back to school, I'm going to lose it. I'm at this point.
This is the pandemic with Zoom school, except for the American public. And the kids are actors.
Yes. Yes. That's it. So all this to say,
I'm into that analogy.
I'm into it as well. And you know what? No matter what happens, Jay, you are a winner. You've won the game, and it truly could be no other way.
Oh, my God. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Britney Spears, for writing a book. Thank you. I want to say thank you, Netflix, for not asking me to come to any of these brick-and-mortar openings. And thank you. Thank you, Tyler Perry, for casting a woman of color, Scarlett Johansson, as the lead in that call. Thank you.
Thanks again to comedian and writer Jay Jerdan. All right, Intuit is hosted by me, Sam Sanders. The show is produced by Janae West, Travis Larchuk, Gabby Grossman, Jelani Carter, and Taka Zinn. Our fearless editor is Jordana Hochman. Our engineer is Daniel Turek. Our music is composed by Breakmaster Cylinder, and the executive producer of audio at Vox Media is Nishat Kurwa. And listeners, I've got some news for you right now. You may have heard that the podcast industry is in a very weird, strange place at the moment. And you know what? I can attest, it really is. And this shifting market has come for Intuit. Leadership at Vulture, New York Magazine, and their parent company, Vox Media, have decided to end the show. The last episode will run on October 27th. I want to say, making this podcast has been so much fun, and there are so many people to thank for helping create this show. So we'll do that next week on the podcast, but for now, wanted y'all to just hear this news first from me. Also, a reminder, we still have 2 episodes left. I want you to listen to those as well. Check for them next week, because one of them might include a little Chuck E. Cheese energy. Charles Entertainment, if you're nasty. Okay, stay tuned. Back next week. And as always, thank you for listening.
Why do you run? Why does anyone?
I always thought that runners loved running, and that's not the case. Most runners hate running. But they choose to do it.
In the new docuseries, Running Sucks, brought to you by Team Milk, Abby Ayers learns why women runners everywhere are driven to go the distance.
It really is about taking my power back and proving myself wrong.
Team Milk is about fueling women's performance and helping them along their marathon journeys. You can sign up now for the inaugural Every Woman's Marathon taking place in Savannah, Georgia on November 16th, 2024. Learn more and register at everywomansmarathon.com.